us tonight. Father, we love you tonight. Very thankful for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for everyone that's made it here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the lesson. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, most of all, I pray that you would change us. Lord, how we need to be changed into the likeness of Christ tonight. So help us in that, Lord, and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week, we began to look at the role of the inner man. We are coming into the fruit of the Spirit. And if I can say this just by quickly passing by it, it is the fruit, singular. Okay, it is the fruit of the Spirit. All of these, as we look at them, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and they are all available to us, and we can't be lacking in one or be able to do one more than the other. You know, we can't say that, well, we got joy, but we don't know how to love. You know, it's the fruit. All of these are available to us as we yield to Him. We talked about the role of the inner man last week. We need to understand as we come to Christ and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us, that we have the inner man in us, the Spirit of God in us. Okay? It doesn't mean that the sin nature is gone. It's still there, alive and well, and it always will be. All right, and we talked about the aspect of you got the outer man, that it's our mind, willing, emotions. It's how we want to act. It's how we want to think. It's how we want to feel. And then over here on this side, you got God's mind. You got the inner man. You got the God's mind and God's will and God's emotions. And, you know, God wants us to act a certain way. He wants us to act yielded to the Spirit. But oftentimes there's that conflict. And the heart is at the center of it. That's why we need a change of heart. We need to think different. When I was talking to our newcomers, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that trigger, that heart, is going to be pointed one of two ways. It's either going to be pointed toward the flesh, or it's going to be pointed toward the Spirit. And we need to understand that we need to be led by the Spirit. We looked at Galatians chapter number 5. We'll look at it here in just a little bit as well. The Bible says, we walk after the Spirit, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, I think we were at letter number D in your notes. Letter number D, Bible verses on walking in the flesh and walking after the flesh in our own power. We need to understand, okay? Everybody's with me here, all right? In the flesh, when the Bible talks about walking in the flesh, that is talking about the unsaved. Those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're walking in the flesh. That's the only thing they're in. They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, okay? So they're walking in the flesh. Everything they do is contrary to God, and they can't please God. We'll see that here in just a minute. But then there's the aspect of walking after the flesh. Notice the difference in wording. One is in the flesh, and then walking after the flesh. We may be saved, we may be on our way to heaven, but we still have some bad behaviors. We still act really bad sometimes. And when we do that, we are walking after the flesh. You know, whenever that person cuts you off in the car, you know, and you're not saying, bless your heart, I love you in the name of Jesus. You're wanting everything bad under the sun to happen to them. How many of you feel like that whenever you watch the news these days? Yeah. Yes, sir. Gets my flesh all riled up. God, just strike them down. Be careful.
He might do it.
He might. Walking after the flesh. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves them just as much as He does me. And how dare me? Be very careful. Because you see, that's what we call justifiable flesh. flesh. Justifiable flesh. So, Bible verses, walking in the flesh and after the flesh. These are similar, but they're not the same. A person who is saved cannot walk in the flesh, but he can certainly walk after the flesh intentionally. Intentionally do those things that he knows is wrong. When we do that, we're walking after the flesh. Notice Romans 8:1. And this is going to, Romans chapter 8 is quite possibly one of the best chapters in all the Bible. Them and Philippians chapter number 4, or Philippians chapter number 2, man, they're right there together for me. I don't know about anybody else. But Romans chapter number 8, great, great chapter in the Bible. And he starts off here by saying, there's therefore now no condemnation. Now the word condemnation is a judicial act of declaring one guilty. Okay? It's drawing him, or it's dooming him to punishment, condemnation, declaring someone guilty and dooming them to punishment. But the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Notice what he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, it indicates that if we walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit, we could experience what the Bible says, condemnation. Okay? Now, stay with me here, okay? We need to understand that this condemnation is not from God. He just said there's therefore now no condemnation. Okay? But it's not from God, but it's from the devil. The devil will always condemn us. It's why we feel so bad whenever we behave badly. Okay? Now, I know that there's our conscience is in there and different things, and God's leading is in there. But we got to understand, we're talking about condemnation. Okay? There's a big difference between the Spirit's conviction and Satan's condemnation. Let's look at a couple of them. And I don't think these are in your notes, but number one, here's the Spirit's conviction. It will always line up with God's Word. The Spirit's conviction will always line up with the Word of God. Satan's condemnation doesn't go to the Word of God. He just wants you to stay feeling bad. I know the Bible says that in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So number one, Spirit's conviction always lines up with God's Word. Number two, the Spirit's conviction always shows us a way to make it right. Satan's condemnation tells you that you'll never be right. Well, you're just doomed. Who you are, you're never going to change. That's Satan's condemnation. Just accept it. How many of you hear people say that? Oh, it's just part of who I am. It's just part of who I am. I'm never going to. I've been this way my whole life. I'm never going to change. That is a lie straight out of hell. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Well, I'm glad tonight that I'm not doomed to live any certain way. So the Spirit's conviction shows us a way to get it right. Satan's condemnation tells you'll never be right. Number three, forgiveness. Spirit's conviction leads to forgiveness. But here's what Satan's condemnation does. It tells us that we're not deserving of forgiveness. I'm glad that Jesus died for my sin. Past, present, and future. They're all under the blood. The blood is able. Amen? The blood is able. And lastly, the Spirit's conviction says there is hope. Satan condemnation says there is no hope. So we need to understand that if we're saved, that sin has no power over us, except what we give it. All right, so let's read the rest of these verses in Romans. Romans chapter number 8. Remember this as we read these verses. Remember that sin has no power over us. Okay, Jesus died for our justification. He rose for our, sanctification. Okay, he rose so that sin would have no power. The strength of sin was death. Okay, that's what the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians. But he rose victorious, the only one to ever do it. That's why we got to yield to him. He's got the power to help us to overcome. Sin has no power over us. We're Christians. We're saved. We're born again. Okay? So, Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. For the law, the word law there means rule of conduct. That's what the word law means. It's a rule of conduct. For the law, talking about the Ten Commandments and those things as of that, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. All right? So the law, the rule of conduct of the Spirit, not the Bible, but the rule of law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, as I yield to the Spirit of God, hath made me free from the law of sin, sin's power, and death. Death was God's condemnation. Okay? As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all of sin. Romans 5:12, I believe. So, we need to understand the aspect that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, as we are in Christ, has made us free from the law of sin, from the power that sin had over us. How many of you have ever heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? Okay? Remember that way back when? Mr. Abraham Lincoln?
I was there.
You was there? Amen. Praise the Lord. You've been around a little bit. Let me tell you what happened with the Emancipation Proclamation. At the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves were set free. They were all set free. Ordered. But you know what happened? Many of them stayed slaves because they didn't know anything else. So they stayed under that bondage. And there are many people that sit in pews just like that every Sunday that are held by the power of sin because they don't know anything else. They're free, but yet they don't live like it because they don't understand that they've been made free. They're still acting just like those slaves acted when they stayed slaves. Can I encourage you tonight, don't stay a slave to sin. It has no power. Don't let it hold you down. New life in Christ, we just sung it a couple weeks ago. New life in Christ, abundant and free. Oh, how we need to live by that Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse number 3, the Bible says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Can I just say this? The law was never meant to be kept. Do this, do that. That's what the law says. You come to church, you do good. You'll be all right. That's law. That's a rule of conduct. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Anything we do in the flesh is weak. He goes on to say, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Let's read it again. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. What that verse is saying is that we cannot, in and of ourselves, we cannot keep the Ten Commandments. We cannot do good in our own power. Okay? That is doing it in the flesh, doing it in our power. Notice Romans chapter 8, verse number 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, notice this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That, walking in the Spirit, yielding to Him, allowing a work to be done in me. I was reminded this week that a greater work needs to be done in me than by me. No amount of good stuff that I do, just because I'm director of some program, doesn't make me right. But walking in that Spirit makes me right. And when I do that, when I walk in the Spirit, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled. I'm right. Praise the Lord. Notice Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh, remember how we talked about being after the flesh, that heart trigger pointing to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. As I think about that, I think of church. I know that it's the Spirit's will for me to be at church. I know that. All right? So, if I'm going to mind the things of the Spirit, put an emphasis on church. Right? How many of you think that God wants you to read His Word? How many of you think that God wants you to study His Word? How many of you think that God wants you to meditate on His Word? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Let me ask you this. Let me put it in simple terms. Do you think more about what you want to do or more about what God wants you to do? Do you concentrate? Do you meditate? Do you focus on those things that you want to do or what God wants you to do? Would you rather go to the lake on a nice sunny Sunday morning, or do you want to go to church? They that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are in the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh, it's talking about those that are unsaved, cannot please God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you cannot please God. I don't care what you give in the offering. I don't care how many times you come to church. I don't care how many tracts you hand out. It doesn't matter. If you are in the flesh, if you are not saved, if you've never come to a point where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says, not Doug, but the Bible says we cannot please God. Look at Romans 8, verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Of course, Paul is talking to Christians here. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, as we move from chapter number 8, and we'll come back, let's go ahead and read chapter number 8, verse number 10. He goes on to say, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. All right. Sin is dead to us. The Spirit is life for those that are saved. Now, our whole premise of this chapter is the fruit of the Spirit. And as we read in Galatians chapter 5 last week, verses 19 through 21, there were some very noticeable sins. If you remember, there was adultery, there was idolatry, there was witchcraft. If you read Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 through 21, somewhere around in there, you'll see these very noticeable sins of walking in the flesh. Okay? However, we need to understand that all these may not be prevalent in our life, and Lord help us if they are. But yet, there's another type of flesh that may not be as noticeable as what we see in verses 19 through 21, but there's no doubt that they are destructive. Steve Currington said this, "The biggest problem in Christianity today is doing good in the flesh." Doing good in the flesh. Now, we see in Galatians chapter 19 through 21, we see that's a lot of bad behavior, okay? And then we see in verses 22 through 23, we see that there is righteous behavior, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay? Those are righteous behaviors. But good flesh is neither of those. Good flesh, what we call, quote-unquote, good flesh, is not the fruit of the Spirit, and it's not the bad behaviors that we see in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. This good flesh is an alternative to God's fruit. And it may look similar to this fruit, or at least it may be acceptable to the believer. Okay? Now, let's look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 14. This good flesh. And our pastor, I believe, preached this a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now let's understand that whenever we talk about that aspect of death, it can be spiritual death. And that is what good flesh does. Okay? So, over the next several weeks, okay, we will be looking at God's fruit. And this is what our challenges are all about. As you get out of the Overcomer book and you get in the Stronghold book, every week or every chapter, you will have a fruit of the Spirit. And you will have a work of the flesh, because we've got to know both. We've got to understand both so that we can understand that we have those. Okay? We can understand and see them prevalent in our life so we can change. That's what the whole goal of the fruits are about, and doing the challenges is so that we can see those bad behaviors. So we can know what the fruit of the Spirit is, but we can also know what the work of the flesh is. Okay? Love. And we'll just go with it real quick here. Love is the willing sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without the thought of return. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? But there's a work of the flesh. And it's called self-love. And self-love, I probably can't remember it. You got the Strongholds book? I believe it says, it is the willing or unwilling giving of oneself for the benefit of others with selfish thoughts of return. You see, self-love is often acceptable because we're used to it. You wash my back, I wash yours. Is that what it is, brother? Go ahead and say it.
Self-love is the willing or unwilling giving of oneself to others with selfish thoughts of return.
With selfish thoughts of return. Where God's love gives without wanting anything back, self-love gives with stipulations. See, it's very important to know what's real and what Satan offers as a counter. Sometimes we just think we're all that in a bag of chips whenever we give self-love. We're fooling ourselves if we think we're pleasing God with that. So, letter number E in your notes says the fruit. Anytime you see fruit, the fruit of the Spirit means the outcome. Anytime you see fruit in the Bible, it means outcome. So the outcome of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. The outcome or result of the Spirit's leading in our life. When we're yielding, that trigger is pointed toward the Spirit. This is how we're going to love. We're going to love just to love. It's not about what you can do for me. It's not about what I can get out from it. It's not about how good I can make myself feel about it. It's just loving. Unconditional love. You say, well, I could never do that. I know you can't, but God can. God can. So as we transition to the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruits of the Spirit, we're going to be not only looking at the Spirit, but we're also going to look at the mimic or something that is acceptable in that place as well. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy.